I watched it. I had some ministry obligations elsewhere last Sunday. That's why I left a little early. And that was a powerful time as well. But I was watching. I wasn't watching while I was driving. I had the stream on, and I was watching the road and listening and maybe glancing at it from time to time. But it streamed all the way about 10 minutes into ministry time, and I was like, oh, man, this is the Sunday I got to be out. It's all right. But I want to encourage you all. Listen, if you were touched by the Lord last Sunday, I know many, many of you were. Just one person's like, Pastor, what do I do now? I said, tomorrow morning, get up, put your pants on, and go to work. Because the Lord is blessing you, man. He's some. I guarantee you, my beloved, some of you received a mantle last Sunday. Amen. Some of you, and all you need to do is just continue walking wherever God has you and listen to the Spirit of God. Get a notebook, journal. Some of you were encouraged last Sunday, but some of you received a mantle from God. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? And He will reveal it to you in His time. Keep walking the path you are walking on. Yeah. All right. So we're preaching, just getting into series on the gifts of the Spirit. And I have a lot of notes. We're not going to make it all the way through, but I'm going to move a little bit quickly here. And we're going to build one more thing here before we kind of get right into the actual gifts. Last two Sundays ago, we finished up in Romans 12. I just want to read this just really quickly. Won't expound on it at all. Read my notes. If you don't have my notes, just get to me and I'll get you my notes. But Romans 12, 4 through 9 says this: just as we have many members in how many bodies, church?
One.
And all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Right? You know, that's a very powerful statement. What that means is that what we do matters. Right? We're not lone rangers. I don't care how gifted somebody is, how powerful somebody might be. We're going to look at this. We might not get there today, but if not then today, the next Sunday, no matter how powerful or how anointed, how gifted you are, you will not fulfill what God wants you to do on your own. You will not. I don't got to go to church anymore. You know, you don't need to go to church to go to heaven. My goodness gracious, can I get amen from somebody? Sitting in the building on Sunday doesn't make you Christian anymore, and sitting in the garage makes you a car. Right? Can I get amen? But what you will find out if you choose to not become members of one of us, that's right here, not church members, that's just what we do, right? But if you choose to isolate from brothers and sisters and not get involved in a local church and plug in and let people plug into you and use your gifts and let their gifts come, you will fall short of what God has called you to be. That is His plan. I didn't write that book. Amen. Since we have gifts that, what, church?
Differ
according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Right? But here, look at verse 9. Again, I'm gonna stay on this. Let love be what? Wow. Right? Let love be without hypocrisy. Tell you, just take that one verse and pray about that one for a little while and watch the Spirit of God reveal to your heart how easy it is to be a hypocrite. Can I get amen from anybody? Anybody ever been, the Holy Ghost starts working on your hypocrisy?
Yes.
And then when you realize that you're like, passively being hypocritical, that hurts even more. You're like, man, I didn't even know I was doing that. Right? Agape is the word there, church. Agape, it's a verb. We need to do something. Yeah? So think about this for a minute. Why does God give gifts to men? It's certainly not only to get a job done. Right? But think about this. The Bible says clearly that God's going to use the church, right? That is hands down the most inefficient decision anybody's ever made in the history of everything that exists. If God was just trying to get a job done, he wouldn't have chose us to do it. Can I get it? We just heard our brothers say, God made everything that we see, this building, the concrete we're standing on, this thing our spirits carried around and our hearts pounded, because all he did was speak. He didn't even use his hands. He's like, look, Ma, no hands. God just spoke, right? I think he can do everything way more efficiently than we can. So God doesn't give us gifts just to get something done. I think there's one of the biggest problems in the American church. We become so corporate and so business-minded. It's all about hitting the numbers and hitting this and hitting this and hitting this. And you know how many people I've seen come through this church, and probably we've probably messed up some folks too, to be honest. Not on purpose. But there's been so many people have come here that have been in church for 20 years that are like, I'm done with church. Right? I don't think intentions are bad. I don't think folks started off thinking like, I want to hurt people, but we get sucked into this model of church that is not in the Bible. I got David DeMarco. I was talking to David yesterday. He says he's got some of his worship leader friends are deconstructing their faith. You know? And he's like, I hate that word. I said, me too. You guys all know what that is, right? It's all these Christians now that are saying, I'm not a Christian anymore because they've deconstructed their faith. I said, you know, bro, the Spirit of God said to me, I'm telling you, church, straight up. I said to him, I said, bro, you know what? I said, next time you talk to your buddies that are all doing this, I said, tell them you can't deconstruct something you never constructed in the first place. Ouch. Spank on that one, man. Yeah. Can I get amen? I said, I think what's going on, man, the Holy Spirit was just like, ding, the light bulb goes off. I said, here's the problem. We've built our faith on what the church has told us. We've done enough so we can get on the platform. We've done enough so we can grab the mic. We've done enough so we can be a deacon. We've done enough so we can do this or do this in the church. And we've got these massive gaps in our faith that we never bothered building and dealing with. So the storm hits, one half of the house is doing all right. The other half is falling down every time it rains. You don't need to deconstruct everything. You need to finish construction. Amen. My Bible says if I build my house right, I don't care how bad the storm is. It's going to stand up. I don't got to deconstruct nothing. Amen. First, 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we're talking about gifts here. We're still dancing around this one. Amen. But we're going to hit this. I've been wanting to preach on this. I'm not going to preach on this section, but I want to touch on this for like 2 years now. But look at this, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. I want to show you something really quickly. We're going to be probably about 20 after 12, everybody, so just don't look up there. It's fine. Take the clock down. Look at what he says here. But realize this. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Timothy, anybody tell me who Timothy was in the early church? What was Timothy? What was his role? I know somebody knows this. He's a young pastor. Right? You know what church he's in? Ephesus. The Ephesian church. That's the church he pastors. Paul tells us that clearly. I'm leaving here in Ephesus to stop all the teaching that's contrary to the truth. Right? So Timothy's rocking the boat in the church. Realize this. In the last days, in the what time? In the what day, church? Oh! In the last days, difficult times will come, as we just heard our brothers say. We need to understand, on one hand, my beloved, things will not get better. This world will die. God is going to destroy this world that we live on to bring a new one. You understand? So we can look at this thing's falling apart, Chicken Little, or we can look at God and what he said and say, man, we're going to make it, and we're going to receive the new thing that he's doing. Right? Now, Paul describes why it's going to be hard. Look what he says, church. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Notice he doesn't say children will be disobedient to parents. Huh. Isn't that funny? Ungrateful. I'm just looking right here. Unholy. Holy just means set apart, church. Doesn't mean weird. It means set apart. Unloving. Irreconcilable. That means folks have some conflict and they can't work it out. That's a big boo-boo. Read the Bible, man. That's a no-no. Look at this. Malicious gossips. So gossip with malice on it. I'm trying to hurt somebody. Without self-control, last fruit of the Holy Spirit. Brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Is Paul saying that we cannot enjoy pleasure? Everybody said no. No, because in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says God's given us all things for our enjoyment. 1 Timothy 6:18. Right? God's blessed you to enjoyment. Look, we're the world is dying, but he says, have a good time while it's dying. Enjoy what I gave you until the thing burns out. Right? As long as you handle it properly. Look at what he says in verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Now, I love this last statement. Avoid such men as these. Yikes. So for years, I thought of this particular verse kind of stuck in my head as holding the form of godliness, but missing the power. Like it's a passive thing. Like, oh, sorry, we missed it. But that's not what Paul says to Timothy. Paul says that there's a group of people that are going to be, my beloved, say, in the church. In the church. These are not unbelievers acting like this. They already act like this. This is believers. People who have claimed faith in Christ, claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit, claim to speak in tongues, claim to be led by the Spirit of God, acting like this in the church. Right? If I told you sinners act like this, you'd be like, obviously. Right? This is church folks. Now, they have not missed the power, denied the power. It's an active stance, digging my heels in. Now notice what is not on the list. Paul does not say to Timothy as a young pastor, in the last days it will be difficult to be a pastor. That's what he's telling him. It's going to be hard to be a pastor because there will not be signs, wonders, and miracles in the church. He doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say that. He doesn't say there won't be people getting saved in the church. He doesn't say there will not be people getting raised from the dead in the church. He doesn't say there won't be speaking in tongues in the church. He doesn't say there won't be prophecy. He doesn't say any of that stuff. He does not say there will be lack of gifts in the church. What he says is that there will be a lack of character in the church. Paul is telling Timothy, look, gifts, the gifts of God will flow. Come on, church. God used a donkey to talk to a prophet because he was not in a good place. He's beating that donkey. Father, the donkey's like, why do you keep smacking me? Don't you see this angel with his sword drawn about to kill you? He's like, no, I actually don't see that. So the fact that the donkey can see the angel and the prophet cannot. Yikes. Do you see this, my beloved? Three things here then we're going to get into 1 Corinthians 12. Paul is not talking to unbelievers. He says, church folks are going to be like this. Number two, Paul doesn't say there won't be gifts, what we consider to be gifts operating in the church, right? Signs, wonders, miracles, all those things, right? Number three, the word used for power here, denied the power, is dunamis. The Greek word, it is dynamite. That's where we get explosive power from. It's not some weird different Greek word. Can I get amen, right? This means the same power that if this brother is sick and I go in the name of Jesus, pow, and he gets better, or this person got a demon, I go boom, and this demon's got to run. The exact same power is supposed to be not just working through me to deliver him, but supposed to be working in me to deliver me. That's what Paul says that the end times church is going to deny. Yikes. I said 2 weeks ago, how is the church going to be deceived by signs and wonders? Because we will look past the lack of character in people and say, gosh, look at all their, they healed a sick person. That must be God. It is not. If they are not displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit, what we need to do, my beloved, is start, like I used to tell folks all the time, some of you have been, when I started this church, I say, you want to come to my house on a Monday, peek in the window. You're going to see the same guy on Monday you see right here. And you're like, oh, man, we're going to pray for Missy then. Church, do you know what I'm saying? It's not about like, oh, time for church. Let's get ready. Dude, we should be ready. In season and out of season. What we come here, we gather church to worship God together and to be equipped to go out there and make a difference. Yeah? 1 Corinthians 12, look at this. Same thing that Paul's telling us in Romans 12, but I want to show you, wow. I'm going to show you nothing because we're out of time. I'm kidding. We're getting one thing in here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Pick it up at verse 7. But to each one, look at, he's saying exactly the same thing to another church, right? To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit so they can become a superstar preacher. It's not even for their own benefit, is it, church? For the common good, right? I think I told most of you know, I hurt my shoulder pretty bad at the gym 5-6 weeks ago. Pretty good one. Popped it out of joint, came back in, out and in. Really hurt a lot. And many of you prayed for me, and it got much, much better. But I got to this point where it just wasn't getting better. I went to see our friendly in-house chiropractor on Wednesday, and literally, so it's weird. The pain was right here in the top of my shoulder. I couldn't go like this. That was as far as it would go up. And so she gave me this quick exam, and she goes, okay, you know, what we want to do is we think we should ice where it hurts, right? It hurts right here. Oh, that's where it's broken. She goes, no, you don't know anything. She goes, it's over here. So she goes this part on like 10 inches down on my back, and she made me cry a little bit in her office. She's very nice about it. Church, I'm telling you, 10 minutes. She goes, okay, move your shoulder. Now, what do we think about? Here's what we don't understand. Just because it hurts right here doesn't mean it's hurt right here. It hurt right here because there was something down here that was not right. Why? Because the hip bone's connected to the knee bone. Just my scientific expertise on that one. We're members of one another. For to one, we say one. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the what? Same Spirit, not a different one. To another, faith by the same Spirit. We're going to break all these down soon, but we're not doing that today. Another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit, by the one Spirit. And to another, the effecting of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individual because that's how they want to work in the kingdom. So we got some new folks here. Pastor, how many years ago was it you took me out to lunch and asked me to be a pastor at this church? 16-ish? What'd I tell you? Got the wrong guy. You know what I'm figuring out? It's people typically flow better in a gift of the Spirit if they resist it initially. I was like, I don't want to pastor crazy people. I mean, a wonderful church like this. Right? I mean, I was the worship guy. I never read my Bible. Come on, let's just be real. I knew like 6 verses of Scripture. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout unto the Lord with all your, right? I just knew all like the 6 or 7 verses you need to know as a worship leader. That's why these worship leaders are deconstructing their faith right now, because they don't know nothing. They know how to sing songs on Sunday. Dude. And I knew some of the stuff he went through, and I was like, I'm good, man. I'm like, I'm the worship leader. Everybody likes me, pretty much. Right? Look at this, though, church. The Spirit, ever say the Spirit? Spirit, distributes to each person as he wills. As he wills. You don't get to choose what you are in the kingdom. How many people, doesn't that feel so good? Mo's crying over here. Even as a body is one, and yet is many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. One body, members, right? Now, I think at least some of us in here, hopefully, your physical body is working fairly well with itself. Hopefully.
Sort of.
Right? You know what? It's funny, like, one of my injuries at the gym is this weird nagging left big toe injury that just randomly hurts. I can't make it hurt. It just decides to hurt when it wants to. And it's like, man, when it does hurt, it's like you don't think about your big toe until it hurts. Can I get an amen? This is what Paul's trying to get us to see here. When one, just one member decides that they're not going to function as the Spirit of God wants them to function, it affects the entire body, right? Now, that's not a condemning word. That should be an encouraging word, as I'm going to show you in just a moment. Verse 15, let's keep reading. If the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less the part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members. Who placed them?
God,
each one of them in the body, just as, oh, here we have it again. Man, is it so good. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We're going to stop right here, and I'm going to finish up in the next 92 minutes, roughly, approximately. Order more pizzas. Paul actually addresses two issues here, church, and I'm telling you what, I just saw this about 2 months ago, never saw it, never realized it. We see one issue here, typically I shared it with some pastor friends of mine when I was on a ministry retreat a few weeks ago. I shared it with a good friend of mine, great Bible teacher, and I was like, dude, look what this says. He goes, it doesn't say that. I go, oh yeah, it does. Look at this. And he goes, bro, guy's been teaching for 30 years. So there's two issues here that Paul addresses. Verse 15 and 16, look what he says. Let's read it. Nice and carefully. Can you give me 15 and 16 again? If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. Verse 16. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it therefore any less a part of the body? Now verse 21. Can you give me 21? Please. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head to the feet, I don't need you. Now let's just talk about verse 21 for a second. Interesting to me, it's funny, we actually have someone here with us this morning that lost part of his leg in a freak tree cutting accident. So this, you understand this one, don't you, bro? You're missing a foot, right? Isn't it funny? Like, if I was going to write this for Paul, I'd be like, look at, you know, the head can't say to the left pinky fingernail, I don't need you. You know, if I lost my left pinky fingernail and it never grew back, I'm like, eh, it's fine. I could probably make it out of that. But cut my foot off, that's probably going to hinder things a little bit. Can I get amen? Van Gogh, that dude cut his ear off, sent it to his girlfriend, right? Imagine seeing Van Gogh for the rest of his life. Wow, that guy looks funny. Oh, he's missing an ear. Right? Can I get amen, church? It's crazy, like, but you know what Paul's dealing with in verse 21 here? Here's issue number two. This is the one we see. Paul's dealing with competition. Paul's dealing with pride here. Right? I don't need you. Ouch. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, or the head to the feet, I don't need you. Now, if we go through seasons of life, we've had people come and go in this church, and praise God, we bless them in the name of the Lord, honestly. And that took a lot of work in the Holy Ghost for me to be able to say that with a good heart, because some of that hurt a little bit. But if God removes somebody from your life, that's because God has removed them from your life. You don't need them in your life anymore. Can I get amen? They were there for a season, and the Lord said to me straight up a few years ago, he says, how about you, instead of complaining that these people left, how about you be grateful that they were in your life for a season? How would you look at the blessing and the things that you learned and the good things they did for you and be grateful and bless them and know that somebody else is going to come down that's going to help you continue to move forward? Can I get amen? So we got to understand something. As I said a moment ago, right? I'm going to go to heaven all by myself by God's grace, right? I don't need none of you to get to heaven. But you know what I do need you for? I do need you to fulfill the fullness of God's calling on my life. Look at your neighbor. Whenever you look at your neighbor and say, I need you to fulfill the calling of God on my life. I need you. Come on, church. Look, one person in the Bible, one person who really knows who they are in Christ can put how many demons to flight? 1,000, right? But two, oh, well, if you're any decent in math, how about three? That's 100,000. How about four? I think it's 1,000,000. I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot. Do you see, church? God has been dealing with Lone Ranger Christians for a long time in the church. He's been dealing with superstar Christians. I said a few weeks ago when Paul is being worshipped in Laodicea or Lydia or whatever this town is, he doesn't know the language. They're worshiping Paul. They're calling him a god. When Paul realizes what they're doing, he runs into the crowd and tears his clothes. And he says, don't worship me. I'm a man with a nature just like you. God never wanted stars on podiums and we're all, oh my God, I need to hear. I know none of you think I'm that good, so we don't need to worry about that. Praise God. But let's back up into verse 15 and 16. I want to show you something. This is what I saw like 2 months ago, and I was like, what? Crazy. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, or that the ear should say, because I'm not an eye. You know what Paul deals with first, my beloved? I never noticed this. Paul's dealing with insecurity. Right? The second issue is one part of the body saying to another part of the body, I don't need you. But here he says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand. In other words, the foot's saying, because I'm only a foot, I don't really matter to the body. And if the ear says, because I'm just an ear, I don't really matter to the body. I remember being a young Christian, and this subtle message was, if God's going to use you in your life, you're going to be a preacher. Or you're going to be a missionary. Or you're going to be a prophet. Or you're going to be... Everything was all ministry. Anybody been in church long enough where that's what... Come on, church. Sometimes that came straight over the pulpit, but it was this subtle message like, this is the high calling of God. Not true. It's not true. It is true, but it's not true. Can I get amen? And what had happened, my beloved, is that we feel like if I'm not the preacher, if I'm not the prophet, if I'm not, I'm just a foot. Just a foot over here hanging out. Whatever. It's fine. I'm just cleaning the garbage cans. I'm just running the soundboard back there. Well, dude, have Alex. That's right. We love you, bro. Ruth. Look at guys. All these things on the TVs. Imagine if Ruth and Alex decided to not be part of the body. We really don't sound that good. Alex makes this sound pretty good. Can I get amen? Is this all right? Talking about the sweet spot, right? That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. And it's this weird thing where we need to, each of us needs to get to a place where we are confident in who we are. So, Pastor, what was your theme for 22 years? Know who you are and know who's in you, right? So I'm going to be real with you. I talked to Pastor Al last Sunday evening on my way home, and I said, Dad, I kind of watched that for a while. And you know what's funny? This thought struck me later on in the day, this thought struck me, and it was this. If that had happened 5 years ago and I wasn't here, which I wasn't here, I would have felt insecure. And he's like, why? What do you mean? I said, because I would have started thinking that, look, folks really want that, right? Folks really want that, and that's cool. Can I get amen, right? How many people, man, that's awesome, right? I did it for years. Every time we'd have a good, like a Sunday, like last Sunday, I'd be like, all right, we're going to sing the same songs. Make sure the thermostat's set at the same temperature. Make sure the fan's at the same speed. Keep the lights at the same level. Right? Yeah, make sure it's not too loud or too soft, because then we found this sweet spot. The Holy Spirit really liked that song list. It's funny, church, but I did it, man, for sure. Man, that's the Lord really likes that song. Praise God. But you know what the Spirit of God said to me Sunday as I was pondering this? He told me that. I said, okay. And he said, but look at now. You know exactly who you are. You know exactly what your role is in the kingdom of God. And literally 20 minutes later, I got a text from somebody that got wrecked on Sunday saying, Pastor, what do I do now? And my text was, put your pants on and go to work tomorrow. My role, can I lay hands on people and pow, 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 pow? Absolutely. So can you. Why? You don't know why? Because you got the Holy Ghost in you. Right? But when we gather, each person, there's a role when we gather together. You understand what I'm saying, church? Right? And if your role might just be coming to church, can I get together? Do you understand what I'm saying? And some of you think, well, gosh, I don't do anything in the church. Okay, well, that's fine. But you do something in the church, because when people are missing from the church, you'll think, man, where's so-and-so? I haven't seen so-and-so for 2 weeks. And we start thinking about that. We start going, my gosh, man, I really miss that person. They used to give me a hug every single Sunday. And they used to do that. And they used to, you know, I really miss this person smiling at me or shaking my hand or whatever. Church, you know, it's not that important. I'm not doing anything in the church. We don't understand how important we are because we're not on the stage. Can I get amen? Let me dig. I'm going to go one layer deeper. We're almost done here. We're going to go one layer deeper in here, this one. Got some new ministry friends that we may, I remember what my announcement's going to be now. Remind me, I have an announcement when we're done. Talking to some new ministry friends recently. We've spent a lot of time with them. We really love them to death. They're super, super people. And their ministry is all about freedom and deliverance and healing and all these things. So I was talking to them recently, and I said, here's kind of my take on some root issues in believers' lives, right? And so some of you have been around. I think to me, shame is a big one, right? Shame is a big root issue. That's a big weapon the enemy uses. But I just said to them, I said, in your experience, what is a root, right? I didn't say anything. I didn't say, here's what I think roots are. I said, I just wanted to hear what they say. And they paused for a second. We're having dinner with them. They paused, and they said, look, we think, in our experience, that the root of every single issue in believers' lives is a fundamental disbelief that God is good. And then they said, and what that root does is produces shame, guilt, condemnation, fear, anxiety. It's a fundamental disbelief that God is good. And let's face it, if you look around, as I said, you watch the news for 5 seconds right now, it's pretty easy to start thinking God's not all that great. Is that all right, church? Yeah, that's what one preacher says. Well, if God's so good, why has he let all this stuff happen? This preacher says, I'll give you the answer to that one next time somebody asks you that. He said, God didn't break the world, you did. Oh, burn. Yeah. Let's see what they got to say to that one, right? God didn't break the world, we broke it. He's trying to fix it, right? The world jacked up because of us, not because of God. Can I get amen? So let me give you a scripture here. This might seem like it's kind of weird, like the fit here, but I'm literally standing my notes right here. But I want to show you something. I stumbled across this the other day reading a devotional, and I was like, whoa, crazy. If my beloved, again, kind of even peppering this deconstructing our faith garbage, terrible, And then you know what drives me even more nuts about it? That we have all these Christian publishing companies that are publishing it. Oh, worship leader so-and-so is not a Christian anymore. Who cares? Who cares, man? Are you trying to discourage everybody that loved their worship songs? My goodness gracious. It's terrible. Can I get amen? How about where are the stories about all the people that are on fire for God, that are serving God like crazy? Why aren't you telling us about those people? Because they don't sell articles. They bought right into the media stream out there. Bad, if it ain't bad news, it ain't news. Is that all right? There are millions of Christians on fire for Jesus, man, serving God. Is that all right? Look at this scripture. Again, talking about a fundamental disbelief that God is good. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And then I'm going to read something and we're done. This is Moses talking to the people. He says, this is one of the recaps of the whole promised land debacle with the spies that went in, all right? But he says just two verses. He says, yet you were not willing to go up, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord. And you grumbled in your what, church? He doesn't say you grumbled at church. Uh-oh. He says you grumbled when you got out of church. When you got home. Can you believe so-and-so? Can you believe? You grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us. Because the Lord hates us. He's brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Wow. Isn't that crazy? Church, I hope you understand. Egypt is a metaphor for the world. So when he talks about being taken out of the land of Egypt, he's talking about getting saved. Right? God has delivered his people from 430 years of slavery and oppression. They were crying out to God, deliver us, deliver us. He's like, okay, here it comes. He sends a deliverer. Church, 6 weeks. It took them 6 weeks after God delivered them from Egypt to start complaining. 6 weeks. We should have stayed in Egypt. Can I get an amen? Is that just be real, church? Anybody ever get saved and you hit some point in your journey and you're like, I wish God had just left me alone? Right? You know that ain't true, but there's that thought like, dude, this, I didn't sign up for this. If you have not hit your I didn't sign up for this season yet, buckle up, because it's coming. If you're not in one currently, buckle up, because there's probably another one coming. But you know what we learn in the I didn't sign up for this seasons? You learn a whole new level of how good God is. You're like, man, this is terrible. This is awful. This hurts a lot. Can I get amen? But if we continue to press through and fight off that lie, look at, God hates us. Moses prophetically sees what the people are saying at home. Not at church. At home. God hates us. Think about it. God had prophesied over and over and over and over. I'm going to take you out of this land of Egypt. I'm going to take you to this land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of rest. It's a land of promise. It's a land of this and this, all of these things. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be, they brought back a cluster of grapes that's so big they had to carry it on a pole. One cluster of grapes, man, just one. Can't carry on a pole between two big muscle and meathead guys. Big tough guys, man. They're carrying this cluster of grapes on a pole. And they're like, wow, this land is awesome. But then they're like, no, I think we think God hates us. Never mind. He's just going to kill us. He saved us to destroy us. Just like our brother shared. Have you heard what he was saying? This is what we get saved, but then we start looking to the world. We get saved, but we look up, then we look down. We look up, we look down, we look up, we look down. God's saying, just keep looking up. Look up. Right? Let this world do what it's going to do. Look up to God. God's saying, man, I will not allow what is going on around you to get in you. If you keep looking up. Is this all right, church? Let's stand to our feet. If let me finish up by saying this. If when you hit a season that is not the greatest season, if you cannot literally sense a surety about your walk with Christ, it is the Spirit of God revealing that there's a section of your foundation that's missing. It doesn't mean you don't cry. It doesn't mean you're not upset. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. But I'm saying to you, church, through the tears, through the pain, through all that stuff, there should be something inside of you that says, man, you're okay. You're going to make it. I've got you. You've built your house on the rock, right? Let the rains fall. Let the winds blow. Let the waters rise. You will be okay. Yeah? And that's, church, that's the journey that I think so many believers, we fail to go on. And as our brother shared, it's not about an experience. We need experiences, man. We need to get slain in the spirit, fall down. We need to cry. We need to shake. We need to, what? Amen. 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 But that is the Spirit of God who now wants to take the Word of God and plant it into our souls. Right? Because I guarantee you at some point, what happened to all of you last Sunday is going to wear off. It'll be a distant memory. Oh, remember that Sunday? Oh, those years ago. Lord, bring it again. He's like, you didn't do nothing with it last time. God pulls the curtain back. He shows us his glory. He's like, now go do something with it. Be who I called you to be. Look at church, if we've not taken the time to get to know God, who he is, revealed in the Word of God, no matter what has happened, is happening, or may happen in the future, we need to understand that he's good. He's good. And that when something that's not good is for some reason allowed to cross your path, then God Almighty is obligated and required to turn that bad thing around for your good. He has to do it. Can I get amen, church? What? God says, my word will not return to me void. Look, well, his word says he's going to work all things out for good. So God is bound by his own word to take whatever is coming at me and to recycle it, spin it, rebuild it. Whatever he's got to do, he's going to bring me through it. And at the end of that journey, I'm better than I was when I started it. Can I get amen? Father, in Jesus' name, as we journey for the next couple of months, God, I just, what I got in my spirit, church, is like by the end of 2022, not that it's a big calendar thing like December 31st or whatever, but you know what I mean? Like this year, these next, you know, 9-10 months, like that we're going to be able to look back and say, my gosh, look at what God has done. And not just like some of us are, you know, some of us, I think we still do it. We come and we just feel like we don't matter. We're just like, oh, I'm just coming. No, that's a lie. You matter. You matter to God. You matter to this church. You are a part of this body. If you are here this morning, I don't care what your first time here. If you choose to come back, it's because God is saying, I am making you a part of this local body. You matter. What you have to contribute matters, no matter what that is, no matter how it manifests by the Spirit of God. It matters that we step in as He has chosen to deposit in us, not as we want to do, as He wants to do. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we come with surrendered hearts right now. Just like all those years ago, I did not want to pastor this church. I did not want to do it. But just like Jesus in the garden, I said, Lord, if this is your will, I'll do it. I'll do it. Father, I pray that we have that Garden of Gethsemane heart. And that, Lord, by your Spirit, as we just read two separate sections of the Bible, it's the Spirit who chooses what gifts are to each person. That, God, we would hear in our spirit from your Spirit, this is what I've gifted you to do. Maybe there's multiple gifts. Amen. We'll talk about that. But here's where I'm placing you in this body. Here's where I'm putting you in the wall. Here's the stone I'm shaping you to be so you fit into this wall and fill a gap. Here's what I'm calling you to do. Father, let every single person in this body, Lord God, hear you like they've never heard you in their life, God. Unshakable. No matter what happens, they say, man, I know God told me this. Father, help us to stay in that sweet spot of not being puffed up and arrogant about it, but not being insecure about it either. This is who God's called me to be, and I'm going to walk in it. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Man, guys, have an awesome week. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Announcement. Yes, announcement. Huh? Teens, yeah, teens are that direction. The last weekend in April, these same ministry friends are having a marriage conference in Bloomfield. They're only taking 15 couples. They gave me 3 slots. 1 slot is filled. So, and it's not my, I'm not going. They're like, yeah, we know who filled that slot, Pastor. guys, it's only $50 for the entire, it's a Friday night, 7 to 9. Saturday's like 9 to 5:30, I think. Lunch included, $50. These are Spirit-filled, Holy Spirit-filled folks. Been married a long time. So if you're interested, you need to be married, obviously. If you're not married, probably. And you need to be married to someone of the opposite sex. We don't have that problem in here. I'm just going to throw that out there on Facebook. All right? We don't roll like that either. We have 2 slots open, $50. Please let me know. It's first come, first serve. If you'd like to go, I will get you the information. You can make a reservation. But I would highly recommend wherever you're at in your life, you know, your marriage is the most, one of the most important things as a believer, as believers, right? It is the manifestation of Christ and the church. That's what the Bible says. So if your marriage is struggling, your kids will suffer. Right? Your marriage is first, kids are second. Amen. Amen. So 2 slots are open. Please let me know ASAP. If you want to know, I'll get you the information. First come, first serve. Women, Friday. 7 p.m. Women, you are here. 7 p.m. on Friday. Is there a cost?
No.
Bring a gift exchange to exchange on Friday. Some of you, all the ladies are welcome on Friday. 7 o'clock here. Jesus' name. Guys, have an awesome week. Blessings on you. Amen.